and welcome to a Taylor's Tales podcast. This is Chris's Corner. I'm your host, Chris Taylor. And today we are back with part two of the Leadership and Strategy Tactics Guide by Jocko Willink, the Field Manual. Fantastic podcast last time. I really enjoyed it. And this time we're going into part two. We're completing the foundations of what we talked about last time, specifically the foundations. And then we may be able to slip into the leadership part of the book in part two. But let's get going. We've talked about previously. We looked into basically when to create mutiny within a team, very specific to, in Jocko's case, a naval scenario. But I still think it was very applicable to today's sort of businesses and also some teams when to basically go to a higher up. And request a new leader within the team. But today, we're going to move on from that. We're now looking at born or made leaders. And so it's an age-old question. Are leaders born or made? And there's a little bit of both in this scenario. So I've got written down, everyone has their strengths and weaknesses. This is clearly said in the book. People are also born with different cognitive capacities. Now for me, I was a slow burner. I've always been a slow burner. It's taken me a lot longer to do stuff than other people. Nothing ever seems to come naturally, and it takes a lot of hard work for me to get there. And there's a lot of people out there, I imagine, who have to put in loads and loads of hours in order for stuff to sort of soak in and really acknowledge it. And I think born or made is a really interesting chapter in the sense that people have to work to get somewhere. It's not always easy, and leadership is no different. So we've got here, let's start by looking at what people are born with. Obviously, everyone is born with strengths and weaknesses in different areas. Physical attributes are obvious. Some people are taller, some are shorter, some are naturally stronger, some are more flexible, some are born with explosive, fast twitch muscle, and others with high endurance, slow twitch muscle. Jocko always likes to go into a little bit of physical activity. In the sense that there's always going to be a difference when it comes down to being part of a competitive competition, when it comes down to any sort of sport, that's human beings really enjoy this sort of ability to watch others compete at the highest level. And there's always going to be those people with the better genetics, the better, you know, so on and so forth. But he gets into how applicable is that in leadership? So one of the first things is, the better that you can contextualize things in the world. Yeah, so he's got here, the more a person reads, the more they're able to contextualize things in the world. I really like that. As someone who's only just got into a habit of getting back into reading every single day, really in sort of getting into it and seeing how applicable that can be, I totally agree on this part. And I see how what he means by contextualize the world, because the more you read, the more vocabulary you have at your disposal, and the more you're able to understand the world around you and help others understand the world around you. The more a person studies language, the better the vocabulary becomes. The more a person asks questions, practices figuring out answers, and trains their ability to think, the better they'll be able to actually think. So just as a person can improve their physical capabilities, a person can also improve their intellectual competence until they reach their limits of their genomes, because there's always a genetic limit, whether it be cognitive or physical. And a lot of people think that they've reached their genetic limit very early on before they actually have. And then we got the other end of the scale where people think that they are genetically empowered, but they're not really. And they like to think that they have something that others don't. The same is true with leadership characteristics. There are certain traits a human being can be born with that are beneficial for leadership. Being articulate is one. The better a person can communicate their ideas in a simple, clear manner, the more effective a leader will be. And some people are born more naturally and can articulate than others. The more confidence and charisma a leader has, the better he or she will do as a leader. And charisma, while hard to quantify, is an identifiable trait that human beings have. And they have different amounts. Some people have an incredible amount of natural magnetism, and others are drawn to them. Some might struggle even to get a minuscule level of attention paid to them. That's really interesting there. Magnetism is a really good description of some people where they have the charisma to be able to get a circle of people to pay attention to that one person. Some people say attention seekers, some say the ability to hold a crowd. We've seen it before where others really get grips of people through word and through articulating their thoughts. I've seen it in a lot of people today. One of the most, I've spoken about him before, Joe Rogan, who brought Jocko to the main stage to articulate his thoughts on the world. Others like Jordan Peterson, you know, David Goggins, all of these guys who didn't have a platform before, but were perfect for today's world, being able to capture that, you know, the thought of others through their charisma and through their ability to articulate themselves in a thought process that might not necessarily, you may not have been able to articulate it, but they have for you. And you start to think to yourself, huh, I was thinking that, but I never was able to express it. So the importance of reading and writing and trying to articulate yourself, no matter how simple or how difficult you find it, is really important to push yourself down the line. Let's have a look at some of the notes I've got at the moment. Because obviously, I like to come prepared. I like to have a little bit of things that we've got. So, yes, here we go. One for the audience. Obviously, I'm not going to get a reply, but what are your strengths and weaknesses? What do you think that you are really good at? And what do you think your weaknesses are? If you feel like commenting on the podcast or on the YouTube channel, write down below. Find out. Let's see what people's strengths and weaknesses are. It doesn't matter how many people. Zero people may feel, you know, they may feel a little bit like this is too much. But that's fine. We're going to find out one day. Write them down. Don't put them on the channel if you don't want to. That's fine. I think a good way to do it would be to write it down in a diary or a journal. I've seen so many people talk about it. I've only started doing it recently. It's really tough. Let's be honest. It's not easy. So this is why this chapter is so important. I think this chapter is more important than some of the ones we're going to go on to, because Born and Made really does emphasize that it's actually the hard work and sort of day-to-day smaller things that you may think, 5 to 10 minutes won't do anything every day. It will, trust me. So, yes, so learning, studying, the more you do, the more confidence and charisma a leader has, the yes. Ah, there is only one person who will not become a good leader, and this is one, yes. We'll get onto that in a second. And we're going to go on to Jocko's example of the quiet seal. That is going to emphasize what I mean by born or made, in the sense of some people have certain characteristics and they use those characteristics to get around certain difficult tasks. So, how can a leader become great if they lack the natural characteristic necessary to lead? The answer is simple. A good leader builds a great team that counterbalances their weaknesses. I saw this take place when I was running tactical training for the SEAL teams. There was a task unit commander in charge of 2 SEAL platoons who didn't have a loud voice. He was smart and tactically savvy, and he seemed to be respected by his troops. But he had the vocal cords of a mouse. While it is certainly a benefit for any leader to be able to project their voice, it is absolutely critical for a combat leader to be able to make themselves heard. The reason is obvious. During a machine gun fight, it's extremely loud. And yet direction still has to be given in a loud and thunderous tone so the rest of the team can hear the call and then pass it on. Unfortunately, this was beyond the capability of this particular SEAL officer. Jocko goes on to console this guy directly. He's like, you've got to be loud. You've got to be direct. You've got to make sure that others can hear you. And this guy is unconfident in his ability to do so. We all have these things in our life. Let's call them fears that we can't particularly get over. They're irrational fears. Some people are afraid of heights. Some people are afraid of spiders. Some people are the dark. It doesn't matter. You can get around that sometimes. Sometimes addressing the problem directly isn't necessarily the right way to get around it. And I think this is really cool, because in the previous podcast, we were talking about how we were going to tackle things head on. We were going to find solutions. We were going to get around problems. And then this one, we're realizing that some people don't always have that ability. Sometimes we have to work with people who have certain strengths and weaknesses that we don't necessarily have ourselves. And we can, as Jocko says, counterbalance within that team. And I think that's, oh, mate, there's some people I've met who are so much smarter than me who have been able to articulate that and also understand that they're not so good at some things, but they're fantastic at others. And they've used their strengths to basically get up in the hierarchy and do what they can. So Jocko goes on to say that this, basically, he sees the SEAL do this over and over again. He's quiet. He can't get his job done. Can't get the job, the role done. And this is where we talked about previously, where we're saying perform for your leaders to see you're doing a good job. Just perform. I really started to question the potential of the quiet SEAL officer and fully addressed it with him. Look, I see that you understand tactics. I see that you're good at planning. I even see that you are making good tactical decisions, but none of that matters if your men can't hear you. So, goes on to the next mission, and this is where it's interesting. He goes on to say that he sees the SEAL officer again, and the SEAL officer does something a little bit different. I eyed the task unit commander. He looked like he knew what he wanted to do, but he couldn't bark loud enough to make everyone hear him. So how could he execute it? Just as I started to wonder, I watched him tell one of his guys, who I call Bill, tell everyone to strong point that building right there and set security. I saw the task unit commander brilliance immediately. Bill was the loudest big mouth in the entire task unit. I love that. It reminds you of someone, right? As soon as he heard the order from the boss, Bill thundered out, "All right, everyone, strong point that building on the right and set security." Just as they had been trained, when people heard that call, they passed the word to the next SEAL and then to the next. Soon, all of the task unit members had not only heard the call, they were actually executing it, taking it down the building and setting security. It was awesome to watch. It proved verbal commands work, but it also proved that I was wrong. The SEAL officer was absolutely capable of leading men in combat. He just needed to figure out how to utilize the people on his team to cover for his weaknesses. And that is what a good leader does. Finds other people to bring onto the team who can compensate for his or her shortfalls. By doing that, even the biggest deficit in leadership traits can be overcome. Combine that with hard work to try to improve areas of weakness and see other people can drastically improve their ability to lead. That right there is so important, what you just said. Sometimes as a leader, you have to sort of delegate, and delegation works perfectly in today's society. As long as the next point, and we're going to talk about, works as well. But this guy has basically seen, I can't do this. I can't be a loud person, but I can do everything else. This one shortfall is not going to make me not be a good SEAL officer. This guy found a loud mouth and he used that. And it's so important to have someone around you who can, you know, get the best of both. Maybe Bill, on the other hand, can't do some of the stuff the SEAL officer can't do. And the officer, as a leader, shows him how to do it. And it's this sort of balance. I love it. I think that it's really important to realize that you have weaknesses. And this point now we're going to make explains that a little bit further. Well, I should say almost anyone, because there is one type of person who can never become a leader. A person who lacks humility. People who lack humility cannot improve because they didn't acknowledge their own weaknesses. They don't work to improve them, and they won't bring someone onto the team to offset their shortfalls. This person will never improve. Beware. That right there is everything. If you're working with someone who doesn't think that they have any weaknesses, watch out. They're either going to be a backstabber or they're going to be coming for you at some point, because they're the type of person you want to avoid at all costs. Everybody, we're human. Like, One thing I've seen in the current situation within COVID is that people are starting to realize that there's imperfections in society. And we need to realize that it's okay. Sometimes it's okay. In some of these scenarios, we need to forgive and forget instead of holding on so tight, because I can see it and it's hard to watch. And leaders without humility, we see a couple of them over in the States at the moment. And we see a couple of them out in Britain and other countries, leading countries. And it's sad to see. But let's listen to Jocko. Let's realize we're not perfect. But we should never not strive to be better. And by doing so, we lead others to do so. And while you might not be able to transform an awful leader into an excellent one, you can certainly make a bad leader a better one, and a good leader an outstanding one, regardless of how they were born. That chapter right there signifies the importance of tackling weaknesses, but also utilizing your strengths. Just because you have a few weaknesses doesn't mean you should focus solely on those weaknesses. Sometimes you can delegate, find someone who can make up for those, go on. One thing I kind of remember as a kid is that I remember hearing you should build on your weaknesses. And there's like a counterbalance to that, is that if you solely focus on your weaknesses, you'll forget about your strengths and you won't get better in that area. So sometimes, yes, it's great to be an all-rounder, but other times it's, let's build on those strengths. Let's get you to a point where you can take on certain tasks. If you can barely do like the basic tasks, your set of work or school or wherever you are, then there's no real point in working on your weaknesses, because your strengths are barely hitting the basic acceptable standard. I realized that hard early on in school in A-level. It wasn't until I got to after my apprenticeship and into university that I realized that, maybe I should be focusing on my strengths first before I start working on my weaknesses. And maybe I should get myself into a really strong standpoint before I start, you know, handing out advice or, you know, making other people think, maybe we should tackle weaknesses together. Maybe you should help me. You've got to sometimes focus down, get those strengths up, get other people sometimes to help you with those other weaknesses before you go tackling them yourselves and really focusing on them. Maybe I'm wrong, doesn't really matter, because in life, life's gonna hit you hard and you'll figure it out anyway. So you're never born a leader, and you can make them, and other people may have better characteristics than you, but you can make yourself better. So that's so important. We're going on to a different area. I think this it's still important, but it's not as important as the one we've just spoke about. This is called leadership and manipulation, one of the foundations. Leadership and manipulation are closely related, but one is deemed to be bad and the other is considered good. They're closely related because they are both trying to do the same thing. The aim of both leadership and manipulation is to get people to do what you want them to do. The highest form of both leadership and manipulation is to get people to do what you want them to do because they want to do it. Yeah, that's an important one. So let's look into the difference between a leader and a manipulator. Because the sad thing is that we're gonna always meet that one person. You know who I'm talking about. That one person out of everybody who kind of, you know, you feel a little bit like uneasy around. You don't know why, but they're taking from you. They're asking for favors. They never offer any back. They keep on sucking it in. You know, they're taking it. they're taking, and they never give. And that can be, this can be an old relationship. Doesn't have to be leadership. This can be friendships, relationships, you know, any sort of partnership. It's important to really realize that. So manipulators are trying to get people to do things that will benefit the manipulator, while the leaders are trying to get people to do things that will benefit the team and the people themselves. This difference is stark. The manipulator is trying to get a promotion or a better position for themselves. The manipulator is trying to set themselves up to look good in the eyes of their boss. The manipulator has one ultimate priority in every move that they make, that priority is the manipulator. Damn. Yeah, that's a big one. I remember all of the teams, there's always that one person, but also you want to be that person who isn't this guy, you or girl, and you want to be the person who's open with others, who is like, you know what? Take some time out of my day. Let's do this together to get this done. Let's, you know, you don't have to be a boss of people to be able to be a leader. And this one here, when it says leaders put themselves at the bottom of the priority list, the good of the mission and the good of the team outweigh any personal concern a true leader has for themselves. Good examples of this, and I've got them down written down here. A good example is Captain Winters, who is from Band of Brothers. If anyone's seen Band of Brothers, if you haven't, don't worry. I'll explain now. Dick Winters is a captain, major, and later on, I think he's, yeah, he just sticks as a major within World War II. And they are part of an American platoon who go into Germany and invade Germany and, you know, go drive through France. And he's basically one of my favorite leaders to watch. He's sort of subtle at the beginning of how he is as his leader, but he's respected by his men. He earns their trust, and he always puts the men above himself. And the reason why is that he always thinks of them, but he wants them to get home. And you can see it in his eyes. And a really good example of this is one mission where I've probably talked about this before, where he's told by his boss that they need to go into the enemy village and scout the village and basically check for any enemy left. And this is right at the end of the war. And they're about to go home. And the night before, two men have been injured. And he says, "Oh, boss, that's not a good idea. You know, this isn't good for the men. They're about to go home." And the boss says, "Just do it now." One type leader would have just been like, "Nah, I ain't going to do it." And they'd be fired and replaced with a yes man. We've been over this before. I'm going to skip over. The point of this is that Dick Winters said, "Okay, boss, I'll get it done." Went back to the base, pretended like he'd done the mission. He got his men to stay in the basement and of this building that they were staying in. And they didn't get hurt. No one got hurt. And he said, went back to the boss and said, "We didn't find anything, boss." And the boss believed him. Because the night before, they didn't find anything either. And so this point is, he cared about his men, and he was risking his job on the line, because if his boss had found out, it would have been his head, not his men. That is true leadership. Another good example of this, as we said with Dick Winters, other than Dick Winters, is that we've also got We Are Soldiers, which is another movie, which has Mel Gibson as the leader. And this is just a really small example, but he does everything for his men. He tries to get as many of his men home. He executes the mission, and he's the first person into the battle, and he's the last person out of the battle. Really good example there, because a leader is never the last, you know, so bad leaders will be the last person in and the first person out, because they only care about themselves. And this is a manipulator, not a leader. So, yeah, that chapter is really good, because in the long run, the reputation of a true leader far outweighs the glory-seeking manipulator. And in the end, the good leader is looking out for the mission and the team you win. And so, have I got anything else on that? Yeah, in the long run, the leader's reputation without the manipulators, that will always be true. And that's why Dick Winters today is still known as a hero out of the American forces. So, really short, nice little chapter there. Doesn't necessarily, sometimes, you know, you don't want to think too deeply about these things, but I do when it comes down to companies, when it comes down to teams, when it comes down to sports. Some leaders will show their presence through hard work, dedication to their team, and they'll go for the team goal rather than for themselves. Subordinate your ego is the next foundation. So Jocko goes on to say about his company, which goes out to different corporations, and he does leadership, sort of what I would call consultation. And he meets this CEO. And so I'll read this description of the meeting between the two of them. "I met the CEO. I'd done my research on paper. He appeared to be the best of the best. He was an NCAA college athlete. He went to an Ivy League school for his MBA, and he was young, not even in his mid-30s yet, but he was already running a $100 million company. He was also physically impressive. He was at least 6'5" and had to be a solid 250 pounds of muscle. Oof, bloody hell, beefcake. But it wasn't only his physical size that was big. As soon as we shook hands, I realized his ego was also massive. The look on his face screamed, "I'm better than you are," and I could almost feel him bowing out his chest like a teenage boy trying to get act tough. I felt an immediate tension from him, borderline smugness, as he looked down his nose at me. No big deal, I thought, as I looked at him. I had to deal with many big egos, both in the military and in the corporation world. But I soon realized that this case would be particularly challenging. Every comment he made was haughty and arrogant. Anything I said was greeted with a superior look of, I already knew that. And I thought he would open up with some ideas as the day went on, but he didn't. His conceit and condescension hit me like a baseball bat with almost every word he spoke. Yeah. Some people you meet and you may find immediately that you don't get on. This is a really good example of when you meet somebody who starts out as someone you really dislike, and I don't know if many people have had this, but they will meet this person, really dislike them, and then start to realize actually they become your best friend because they're very similar to you. And if you knock sort of heads with somebody who's very similar to you, the first thing you think is, he's a dickhead or she's a twat or whatever, you know. But, you know, Jocko goes on to say here that, wait, I thought, is it possible the problem is with me? Because the guy is, we hear that description solely from Jocko. There's no sort of back and forth between Jocko and the CEO. We hear Jocko's voice only, which makes it sort of what I would call a bias narrator. And in this case, Jocko realizes that two massive egos were bumping into each other and causing friction. During the next break, I approached him and said, "Hey, can I talk to you for a minute outside?" And he gave me a smirk and then sneered, "Sure, you're going to give me some coaching?" And with the utter contempt in his voice when he said the word coaching, I motioned outside with my head and I walked towards the door of the classroom. He followed me. We walked down the hallway and got out of earshot of the rest of the team. I stopped, turned around, studied his face, looked like I just asked him to sit outside for a fight. Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm talking about when it comes to knocking heads. Well, he finally said, I smiled. "Well," I replied, "I just wanted to give you a quick assessment of everything I've seen so far. Your leaders are solid, your company has great morale, and they really understand the mission here." His face changed slightly. He looked a little disarmed. This was not what he was expecting. "But the most impressive thing I've seen here so far," I continued, "is you. You're smart, you have a great presence. Everyone here really understands your vision. It's obvious that everything great I see at this company is a reflection of your leadership, which is outstanding. It is no surprise you played ball in college, you have the Ivy League education, you stay in great shape, and you've built this company, this powerful company. It is impressive to say the least. I have nothing but respect for you and what you have done and what you're doing, you're going to do." Enough brown nosing, Jocko. Go on, nah, just kidding. but you could, when you hear that, when someone hears that, there's two types of people. There's the person here who, this guy's clearly on the defense. You can hear that in his voice. We've seen that. And he's being aggressive. But what Jocko's doing here is talking him down a little bit, talking him. Some people might think, stop, giving him sort of compliments. But I think it's because Jocko's physical physique, he's also a really big guy himself. So this is equal. If you have someone who is a little less and he starts speaking up to you, this would come off very differently. "By the time I finished the last sentence, his face had completely changed. The arrogance disappeared and was replaced with a humble, almost bashful face. No way, he blurted out. I'm just a business guy. You're the one who deserves the respect. You spent your whole life in a SEAL teams. You rose through the ranks. You led men in combat in an incredible hard environment. That is what deserves respect." And so we see that 180 turn. And that's what I meant earlier when I said that sometimes you'll meet this person, you hate them, and then you turn around, actually, this person's my best friend. This is completely, I was completely wrong. It's because sometimes your own ego gets in the way. And this is why, again, important chapter, that they, ego is like reactive armor. I like that. I'm glad I wrote that down. Ego is going to hit back and forth. You're going to start playing ping pong. It's going to be going back and forth. You've got someone equally strong in their beliefs. You're going to find that it's going to be that reactive armor where it just pings off the armor back and forth, you know, ping pong. And until you sort of stifle it, think, I'm going to take the higher ground, which is really, really, really hard to do, by the way. Because if you're in a bad mood, and we all have those days, and you're dealing with someone like this, it is near impossible to take that sort of higher ground and really sort of say to yourself, I'm not going to have one of these days where I have a shouting match with somebody I barely, you know, I barely like and I barely know, and I'm doing things off face value. But on the better days, when you feel like you're in Zen mode, you have the ability to do this. And that's when you say to yourself, right, what would I do to be able to sort of take that reactive armor off and sort of show the vulnerability maybe of both people? And sometimes you have to take your own armor off in order for theirs to come off. So let's finish this little foundation with a nice little finishing sentence from Drucker. To put your ego in check, to subordinate your ego, you must have incredible confidence. If you find you cannot put your ego in check because you're afraid it might make you look weak, then guess what? You are weak. Don't be weak. Subordinate your ego. Build relationships and win the long game. That's what I meant by friendship. Relationship. Play the long game. In business, it's different. You're not there to make friendships sometimes. You're there to make relationships for the future. But in other cases, let's say this isn't about work. Let's say this is about life. You've met somebody who is your girlfriend's friend, and he or she is, you know, very sort of aggressive like yourself. You've got to build a relationship with them. You know, it's or your boyfriend's friend. It's so on and so forth. Sometimes you have people in your life you can't get rid of, and they're there for a reason. So subordinate their ego, build a relationship, stop being weak. So leaders tell the truth. I've got that written down. It's not easy telling the truth. And so this, you know, let's start with what Drucker says here. Truth and honesty are perhaps the most essential of leadership qualities. Tell the truth to your people. Tell the truth to your boss. Tell the truth to your peers. And of course, tell the truth to yourself. This is no easy task. And taking the truth does not give a leader, subordinate, or peer the right to be a jerk or attack people. No, tell the truth must be done with tact and sensitivity. Of course, some truths are very easy to speak. We are winning. You're doing an amazing job. Our competitors don't stand a chance. Who wouldn't want to speak these truths? But there are harder truths that are more difficult to tell you. We are losing. Your performance is substandard. The enemy is gaining ground on us. Those truths hurt as much to say as they do to hear. This is why so many people, essential leaders, fail to deliver hard truth. But leaders must speak the truth. What Jocko is talking about here, very similar to what Jordan Peterson says when it says about speaking the truth. Jocko's just defined two different things. One thing that we call black truths. Black truths are truths that are so true, so harsh, that when you speak them, they're going to offend the person. They're going to be really hard to take. And while Jocko is going to go on to say basically that sometimes you can be tactful, and that's the same, Jordan Peterson took a different route in saying, tell the truth or at least don't lie. And in this case, we're talking about truths that are softer, or white lies in some cases, in the sense that they're not going to hurt somebody. And if you're telling a lie that is making you feel weak, those are the ones you watch out for. Ones where you tell people around you to make yourself feel better, etc. We all know them. Some point in your life, you said it. It's horrible. It's a horrible feeling, and we all have them. But what Jock is trying to say here, I think, from my perspective, is that there are times to tell those black truths. They're a last resort, in my opinion. I think if you've got a harsh truth to tell somebody, like you're fired or you're substandard, you've got to put the effort in first and try and get that person's performance up before you go tell them, like, my God. In my opinion, there's a level of timeline, let's say, before you start telling black truths. And there's a timeline of telling white lies or being sensitive and telling white truths. So Jocko goes on to talk about the troops will find out. The troops will find out. So your friends, your family, your team, they will find out if you're telling a lie. So on top of that, troops will find out when the truth isn't told. They will see declining numbers. Someone in accounting will tell someone in operations or sales about declining revenue. That bit of reality injected into the void of information on the front lines will result in rumors about impending catastrophe. This rumor mill will compound and eventually become a self-fulfilling prophecy of doom. This is gossip and group thought. If the frontline troops aren't sure why something's happening, they will make up their own reasons, and the reasons they come up with will likely be worse than the reality. Why would the boss hide the truth unless it was a total disaster? Bingo. That is a great scenario there. Like, yeah, I've talked about how you can take a black truth, you've got a timeline, but also if you've got some white truths that you might forget about, etc., people will come up with reasons and they will not be nice. We see this all the time in the news. The media will come up with any way to fill time and fill people's heads. And so we'll see a lot of truths that are stretched that people come up with because others aren't telling those white truths. So of course, explain the circumstances around it, but don't make any excuses or hold anything back. Just tell the truth and explain why. Have to terminate some people? Explain that it's necessary for the good of the team. Need to put some extra hours in that no one wants to? Explain the reason why it's important. And then lead from the front, especially when things are bad. You take the pay cut. You take the first shift of overtime work. As a leader, do the hard things. Don't leave it to the troops. The same is true when it comes to communicating with individuals. Don't wait to have a hard conversation. They will get harder. Whether it is a subordinate, a superior, a peer, or a client waiting to discuss a difficult issue will not make the issue any less difficult. Attack it. Yes and no. I'm going to go and disagree on this one. I don't normally disagree with Jocko, but yeah, some things become harder and harder to tell somebody. But you've got to be able to, let's say it's somebody's performance has gone down. You've got to have some damn good evidence before you go telling somebody that your performance is down, because that's going to really either turn somebody around and you want to see their performance go up, or you're going to ruin it and their performance is going to plummet. And I've seen this before. There's either the type of person who responds well to criticism, and let's be honest, no one responds well to criticism. And there's people who can deal with like a relatively light criticism, and then there's this harsh black truth that you're going to tell somebody. Like, my God, you know, what if someone's having a bad day? You tell them that they're substandard and they've just been told by their wife that they've been cheated on, something like that. You're just going to be piling on. So there is reading the scenario, and that is super important because not everyone can read scenarios. So while Drucker does say attack it, be tactful sometimes. Read the room, read your team, read who you're with. If you're not a leader, doesn't matter. If you're with your friends, if your family, something like that. If you see them having a shit day and you think that it's okay to tell them that garbage needs taken out and you want them to do it because it's their turn, my God, you're not reading the room right. And sometimes you need to think about what you're saying to other people before you say it. Very important. That being said, a good relationship with subordinates does not mean the subordinate is magically open to harsh criticism. It doesn't work that way. The vast majority of the population doesn't like criticism, no matter who it comes from. So most criticism is best studied indirectly with the minimum amount of negative needed to get the desired change. Boom. Delivering criticism. It's a difficult one. We're going to look into that in page 271. And that's another part of the book. And so we're going to go on to the last foundation, which is study, which I like this one because it's taken me years to get this one done. I was never a good studier at school. I was terrible. It took me many years to not become a last minute mental case. And for me personally, it just started to see results where, for instance, if I did study, I got better grades. If I worked harder, I got, you know, you get more out of it. If you put the work in, if you, for instance, you have a presentation coming up and you prepare and you do that presentation over and over and over again, when it comes to doing it in front of the board or in front of a boss or multiple bosses, it's going to be easy and you're going to have a really, really good time doing it. That takes time though. I don't expect anybody to truly get that straight away because, you know, when you're younger, you're thinking more about, you know, sex, video games and freaking everything, you know, anything that isn't work. Anyway, leaders are never good enough. A leader must be constantly improving and learning since. In any leadership job, new and unexpected challenges arise all the time. And as one continues to lead, the number of people being led increases. Projects multiply in number and scope, and the overall strategic impact of the mission being led also expands. Yeah, really important there. Leadership in any chosen profession is just that, a profession. Being a leader is your life, doing everything humanly possible to know and understand everything there is about your profession, being a leader in that profession. Strive every day to learn and become a better leader. My God, for years, I remember being part of a team and having non-technical managers. They didn't go out of their way to learn about the technical stuff that we were working with, and it was obvious. They only stuck to what they knew. They never got down to working within the front lines, working on the team. There's one thing I respect more than anything else, and that is a leader who knows how to work with the technology that the group they are managing are using. Very specific context, very specific sort of domain of knowledge, but it is so important to get a basic understanding of that knowledge. There's nothing more annoying than having a leader who will not ask you for help or not reveal to you that they don't have an understanding of what they're doing right now. I'll give you a really good example of a good boss. One of my favorite bosses of all time, he was happy to learn new stuff with me. He was happy for me to give him lectures on certain things that he didn't know about, on new technologies. He was happy to learn with me. One of my favorite people in the world. And I had another boss, very similar as well. We went to conferences together. We went to loads of different places because he was trying to consistently learn more. And he was taking me along with him so that I could learn as well. Because he understood the importance of learning, studying. It's just very few people understand that. Very few leaders I've seen. Ooh, here's a nice one. Apply the leadership lens to things you read. Almost every story has a component of leadership embedded in it. A book or an article does not have to be about leadership to be about leadership. Pay attention to that. How does that leader act? What does the leader say? How do the leadership superiors and subordinates react? Learning from history through books is a great way to gain experience without having to live through it. But this only works if you can read with the correct level of engagement to understand the actions, emotions, and human nature inside the worlds themselves. So there are so many stories of leadership's sort of heroes' journeys. It's one of the most common things that you'll see in any book, any good story, any fantasy story. I've got a current one is we've got Revan over here, which you may not see him on camera at the moment, but I'm reading Revan, A Knight of the Old Republic. Fantasy novel, Star Wars novel, it doesn't matter. It doesn't, you know, you can have anyone. I'll switch it over because not everyone likes Star Wars. What are you doing here? we've got a cook store over there with Anthony Bourdain, and you know, rest in peace, my big man. But he was a leader of men. He didn't ever talk about it, but the way he writes in that book is He had a group of people. He was able to organize the people. He was able to get his people to come to work and enjoy coming to work. He was a cook. He was a chef. He was a leader of people. And being a chef was one of the toughest jobs on earth. I've seen it firsthand. Shouting, screaming, sweat. Customers who dislike you. Reviewers, critiques. Doesn't matter. There's always going to be something. And so engaging in stories that show you the correct qualities of a leader, powerful. Also, learn to pay attention to the small things. We often overlook the nuances of situations and then wonder why things unfold the way they did. Pay attention. Little things matter. They matter less, but they matter. Think about the fundamental principles of leadership and overlay them onto everything you see to expand your thinking. Cover and move. Simple. Prioritize and execute. Decentralize command. Extreme ownership, the dichotomy of leadership. If you look for these principles, you will see them. If you see them, you will understand them better. The better you understand them, the better you can implement them. The better you can implement them, the more you can look for them. And this cycle continues forever. None of this happens without humility. If a leader thinks that they have achieved the pinnacle of leadership expertise, they are already going the wrong direction, stagnant in their skill set, and the worst of all, unconsciously giving off the stink of arrogance. Don't let this happen. Stay humble, always lead. So that right there is just a wonderful summary of the previous foundations we've just talked about. It is what I think summarizing the study of these expertise in leadership. And we're going to go into the core tenets in the next podcast. This podcast has been a lot of fun because these last few tenets, these last few foundations are really important. Study being one of them, you know, being able to be humble is a real tough one. And we talk about this a lot. And we've gone over born or made, leadership and manipulation, subordinating your ego, leaders tell the truth. They're all important in their own way. And I think that no matter what happens in life, you're going to figure these out. I really do believe this. No matter who's listening, no matter what position you are in life, no matter who you are, leadership in these specific foundations will come up at some point. You'll start to realize it. You'll start figuring out. You start seeing it in people. And the problem will be is this. You'll start seeing it, and then there'll be people around you who don't. And the horrible thing is that you've started seeing these things. You want other people to see it with you. And you've got a vision of the world. And the problem is that others don't see it. And that's horrible. But guess what? There's going to be a lot of people. A lot of people. So this is where you stay humble. I've done this before. I've tried to get people to really enjoy extreme ownership with me. I've said it about, I've explained it to people. It doesn't work. There are people who want to hear it, and there are people who don't. I, in that case, didn't read the room. Wasn't a good idea. I was providing, as Jordan Peterson has said before, pearls of wisdom before swine. It's a little harsh. But it is a hint of truth in that. And we probably have a harsh black truth there. But nonetheless, it's important to understand these foundations. Study hard. Be humble. Born or made, in this case, work hard and earn that leadership stripes. Don't be a manipulator. Be a leader. Subordinate your ego. Leaders tell the truth. And above all, see those characteristics in the world, see those leadership foundations, and try and be a better person, no matter whether you're trying to be a leader or you're trying to just be a better human being overall. And in times like these, we need more better humans more than ever. People who are willing to subordinate their ego, understand they don't know everything, and understand that there's more to come from life, and that we live in a brilliant, fantastic world that if we work hard, we can achieve more. So we'll end it there. This has been the Taylor's Tales podcast. This is Chris's Corner. I'm your host, Chris Taylor. And as always, I hope to see you next week. Bye now.